Ah, 2020. New year, new beginnings. Last time we spoke to you was in February. It was cold. We were optimistic, looking forward to a new year. And then March happened. What the hell? Hello, this is Karen.
And this is Kevin.
And this is Right From Us. How is everyone? Are you doing well? Your family's doing well, I hope. We are doing okay. We are surviving. We are coping just like everyone else.
What are you talking about? We are doing great. We have plenty of toilet paper.
Oh gosh. I don't know about you guys, but wow. 2020 has been something, huh? I mean, a lot of crazy stuff. This little thing called a pandemic that's changed everyone's lives. Not for the better, by the way. So let's just talk about that, shall we? Let's just talk about the elephant in the room. So let's just go back to March when this whole thing started. When, you know, there was a whisper of a pandemic. At first, I did not panic. I just kind of rolled my eyes like, okay, whatever, it'll be fine. Because we've had pandemics in the past, right? H1N1. Ebola. Was Ebola a pandemic? I can't remember.
I don't think it was considered a pandemic. It was just, it was serious.
Yeah,
just
it
because
was serious.
It's so deadly of a
But luckily it wasn't very
virus.
Contagious. I mean, you only got that from like exchanging bodily fluids basically on the Ebola. The H1N1, actually, I saw something today about that as a matter of fact, and they said this by out of pure luck. We kind of got through the H1N1 by the skin of our teeth because we should have probably done something similar to what we're doing right now to the coronavirus, but because we just lucked out. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, is what I was hearing today.
Well, I mean, the numbers were for the H1N1 were a lot worse than what we're seeing with the coronavirus.
As far as like death rates and things like that. Yeah.
Infections and death rates. It was in the millions.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. So at first I didn't panic because I thought, well, okay, whatever. Here we go. It's fine. I'll probably have to get a vaccination or something at work, which we always have to do if there was some kind of pandemic coming out. But then it didn't go away. It just kept getting worse and worse. And of course the media didn't help by hyping it up and making everybody completely panicked
I was seeing news stories from China, like they were flying over China or their satellite images from China, and there were huge plumes of smoke, and they were speculating that it was, you know, bodies being burned in China.
Which, I mean, it's China. We don't know. It could be true. Who knows?
And I was just like, there's no way that can be.
Yeah, so I didn't, I'll be honest, I didn't really take it that seriously at first. Well, I'll just be honest, I'm not sure I'm taking it that seriously now. I mean, that sounds terrible to say that, because I know a lot of people have died from it. But I'm not panicking, I'm not freaking out as much as some people are, I guess I should say. I shouldn't say I'm not taking it seriously. I'm taking it seriously, because obviously we're
well, it's
here.
It's a serious thing, but what is happening in the news media and politically is just overblown completely. And from the very first, I was just looking at the numbers. You know, I'm an accountant, so I like to look at the numbers. And they were saying Italy was the worst hit of all the countries at that time. And I was just doing the numbers. Okay, they said 35,000 people had died, and there's 60 million people there. So that's like a fraction of 1% of the people, like a hundredth of a percent or something like that.
Which I'm really glad that you looked at the numbers that way, because it kind of grounded me a little bit and kept me from, you know, joining the masses of panicked people. Because, I mean, the media did such an excellent job of whipping everybody up into such a frenzy. I mean, do you remember when it was hard to find toilet paper? I mean, that was insane. You couldn't go to the grocery store and find toilet paper.
Has that ever been explained why there was a toilet paper shortage?
Yes. Well, people were speculating, they were hypothesizing that the reason why that happened is because they were telling everybody to stay home, don't leave your house. So they were thinking, well, if I can't leave my house, I got to have toilet paper. I can't go out and get toilet paper, so I'm going to need toilet paper.
Do you think people really thought that, though? Or,
I don't know.
I mean, I've heard some conspiracy theories where, you know, like the Chinese or some foreign country where people were going around buying all the supplies just to create some kind of a, you know, havoc.
High demand or whatever. I don't know. All I know, it's really odd and scary to go to the store and not to be able to find what you were looking for. Because, I mean, I guess we're spoiled in that respect. We're very blessed that we, you know, have an abundance of everything that we could possibly need at our fingertips. And then suddenly we don't have it. And I have to admit, I kind of got on that panic train too, because I was like, well, my gosh, I mean, what are we going to do? We can't, you know, we can't find what we need. And that's just such a foreign feeling, because we've always been able to just get what we wanted, you know, at the store.
Yeah. And I can tell you for sure, from now on, I will always have a good supply of toilet paper on hand.
Well, actually, that's what they say. When I say they, like the experts, talking heads, whatever, people that are analyzing this time period. I mean, it is a good lesson to learn that you should always have some extra stuff on hand, because, I mean, just like your emergency kit. I mean, we've got an emergency kit, like a tub full of dried food and stuff, because you never know. You just don't know what's going to happen. And, I mean, even though you can find toilet paper now, I mean, that's not to say that you shouldn't think, you know, shouldn't plan for the future, because once this election's over, who knows what's going to happen? Is COVID suddenly going to go away, or is it going to get worse if Trump wins? I mean, you just don't know. So it's probably better to be safe than sorry and stock up on some stuff, you know?
We'll probably never look at toilet paper again in the rest of our lives the same way.
I have to say, there were some funny memes out there, though. I mean, it was nice to laugh at just this horrific situation we all suddenly found ourselves in.
There was something, when my grandmother died, she had stocked up, I can't remember what it was, some cleaning supply, and she had stocked up, she had like a whole closet full of whatever this was, and it was because at one point in her life, there was a shortage of it, so she just always stocked up on it and always bought it.
Well,
at the store.
Yeah.
So we'll from now on, we'll be like that. We'll always have a closet full of toilet paper.
Well, I mean, confession time. I have like probably 10 bottles of hand sanitizer laying around. I buy one every time we go shopping.
You have hand sanitizer? You're a hoarder?
Sorry, not hand sanitizer, but like, you know.
I've never even seen any
hand soap or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Hand soap is what I mean, not hand sanitizer.
I mean, can't even buy sanitizer in the store now?
I was getting ready to say, you can't even find Lysol. I mean, there's something still to this day you can't even get a hold of. Like frozen fruit, what the heck's going on with that? You cannot find frozen fruit. And I'm assuming it's probably because of manufacturing. You know, some manufacturers had to shut down.
It's probably something to do with California, don't you think? Because California is where a lot of the fruit is grown.
Is it? I don't know, honestly.
That one just is baffling.
Yeah, I don't know. So just dealing with that on its own was stressful, just because it was new and scary and weird. And I mean, call us spoiled Americans if you want, but I mean, we were accustomed to being able to go to the store and buy whatever we wanted.
Well, there was also the meat shortage. Don't forget about that. Yeah, you go to the store and there'd be no meat. It's like,
now,
what?
That I think it was the manufacturers, because some of these plants, like
they had the virus. Yeah.
Right. They had some outbreaks of it. So
crazy.
Yeah. So as far as it's affecting our jobs, I'm a healthcare worker. I'm a medical assistant for neurosurgery. And at first, you know, we started limiting the number of people that could come in and out of the hospital. We locked several entrances. We only had a few main entrances open so they can control the flow of people coming in and out. It wasn't until, I want to say maybe April, that they started making people wear masks to the hospital. And we had to start getting our temperatures taken at the door. And to this day, we still do. We still have to wear masks. We still have to have our temperatures taken. They still limit the number of people that are running around the hospital. And I'll be honest, I think some of these changes have been positive. I think that we probably needed to maybe cut down the number of people that are running around the hospital at a given time. And we have entire families come and visit their loved ones and then basically camp out, which I get it. I mean, you know, when Kevin was in the hospital for those, you know, weeks when he had his motorcycle accident, I didn't want to leave him, you know, alone. So I totally get why people want to do that. But, you know, it is more people. and, you know, potentially more germs, whether it's a pandemic or not. So it's been quite crazy at the hospital. I know my particular hospital, we built a floor specifically to house COVID patients. And for months, we never had to use it. And now here in the last few weeks, it's actually half full. So it's a little scary. You know, it's really close to home now. I feel like it's, you know, more real. I guess when I say I didn't take it seriously at first, that's really what I mean, is it just didn't seem real because it hadn't really affected us here in the Midwest as much as it was affecting people on the coast. And now it's affecting us in the Midwest. So it's like literally in the same building as mine, yeah, is but where are I work.
Those, are those people, I know I've asked this before, but are those patients in there because of the virus? Or they were in there for some other procedure and they just happened to get tested and tested positive for the virus?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I know that it's routine now if you are going into the hospital for a procedure or surgery, something like that, that they test every single person for COVID. So I don't know. I think that's a valid question. I mean, are these numbers because people have COVID when they're coming in to get another procedure and are just asymptomatic?
I think that's what it is.
And I don't know. That's a good question.
There's a lot of false positives there too, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, just because it shows that they're in the hospital with COVID doesn't necessarily mean they came to the hospital with COVID symptoms.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that one reason why we have so many rising cases, if you will, is because they've just been so, they just want people to come out and test, you know, like they've been begging people to come out and test.
Who are all these people that are getting tested is what I can't understand.
I guess people that are curious to know if they have it. Or people that are wanting to see their elderly parents and they want to make sure that they don't take it to them.
Right.
So, which has happened before. I mean, you know, we have had people.
Well, there was that couple in Kentucky that the lady was going to see her elderly parents and she got tested and ended up positive. And then they were mandatory quarantined for 2 weeks in their house with those ankle bracelets.
Well, here's the thing. She was doing the right thing by testing to make sure she didn't take it to her parents. And then she was absolutely willing to stay home for that 2 weeks to quarantine. What really pushed it over the line was when the health department pretty much demanded that they sign some kind of form saying that they had to notify them every time they left the house. And she's like, right. I'm not going to do that. And because she refused to sign that form, they put ankle bracelets on her and her husband. Now, people, where do we draw the line on this? I mean, I know that this is all in the guise of public safety, but where do we draw the line? We have to draw the line somewhere. Otherwise, we have no rights. You know, I mean, all of our rights are, I mean, it's scary. It's just scary. Where do you draw the line?
Well, let's think about this for a second. If we go back to the beginning, they were just going to do a few things for a couple of weeks to flatten the curve. And now look where we're at. This is 6 months later, 5 months later, and the curve flattened and the curve is gone down. But we're doing more. More of our freedoms are being taken away from us, and we're forced to wear masks.
Because I mean, at first you can get behind it. You know, you're like, okay, that makes sense. I want to make sure that, you know, we don't really know what we're dealing with here. It could potentially be very deadly, very serious.
Yeah, nobody knew anything at first.
No, and this was a novel virus. Nobody knew anything about it. It's brand new to us. We didn't know how deadly it was going to be, how it was going to affect people. So absolutely, I was on board. Let's shut it down. Let's make sure our hospitals don't get overwhelmed, because if they get overwhelmed, then what do? You know, it could be potentially really bad. So then, you know, those weeks go by and the hospitals are not overwhelmed. And now suddenly, instead of letting up a little bit and letting people live their lives, they batten down the hatches even more. And it's like, but the numbers are not justifying your actions. So now it's more about controlling you than it is protecting you. Don't you agree?
Yeah, at the beginning, it was to flatten the curve, you know, so that our hospitals didn't get overwhelmed. And now it's pretty clear that the hospitals aren't going to be overwhelmed. They built all those hospitals, and then they, you know, all the temporary hospitals, then they closed them down. They spent millions and millions of dollars. I think one of the ones, I think it was the one in New York, they spent $50 million, and they they saw like 38 patients, so it was over $1 million
dollars
per patient, and then they ended up closing the thing down. So I guess at that point they didn't know what they would need, but
right. And but since when more data started coming in and they can start seeing that it's not going to be as bad, thank God.
They're just like doubling down.
They were doubling down instead of letting people gradually get back to a normal life. And especially since we started discovering all these medications that were already on the market were being, you know, proven effective in at least cutting down on the symptoms or helping people with COVID. I mean, we started getting all of these, you know, possibilities of treatments out there, and yet they were batting down the hatches even more. And it's like it just didn't make sense. And they wanted to continue keeping everything closed down. And then the very same breath, they yell about how the economy's bad and all that stuff. And it's like, well, what did you expect? You shut everything down. I mean, there's no revenue coming in. So where do you think money's going to come from? So I don't know. This has been such a mess.
Actually, I mean, we're in the Midwest in Missouri, and it's fairly normal compared to a lot of places here. I mean, we, from the beginning, we've been able to go out to at least drive through a restaurant or go pick up the food and, you know, grocery shopping or whatever. It's been pretty normal.
Well, it was normal for us. It didn't really affect us that much.
Not
I mean,
really.
You're self-employed.
But some of these places.
So you can continue doing your work. And I work in healthcare, and, you know, my job wasn't affected. Luckily, our boys work in industries that were not affected. But a lot of people lost their jobs, and, you know, suddenly they don't have any money coming in to pay bills, and kids are not going to school. So now they have kids at home, and you know, even if they could go to work, what are they going to do with their kids? You know, the kids are home and no one will watch them. You can't take them anywhere. And I mean, what a nightmare for so many people. We were very fortunate that it didn't really impact our lives that much. When I think of all the people that, I mean, their lives were turned upside down by what happened. So I feel really bad for those people for sure. So what do you think? I mean, I know for our city council voted for mandatory masks against the will of the people. The majority of people in our city were against it, but the city council went ahead and made their own decision and just said yes anyway.
I mean, from the very beginning, our city and county has been a complete overreaction. We've had...
Oh, for sure.
We had, for the longest time, for probably the first 2 months until the middle of May, there were 7 deaths in the entire county.
Right.
And they were all in one nursing home.
Right.
So there was really no reason to lock down the entire economy.
Right. And that's something else that we should have adjusted for once we found out who the vulnerable were, you know, the elderly and the people with pre-existing conditions. I mean, you need to quarantine those people. You don't need to quarantine the healthy people. It was just completely backwards to what we should have done. I think our reaction should have been in a lot of ways. But
I mean, at first, just like we said, that nobody really knew what was going on at first. So it maybe it was justified at first, but after a few weeks and it's, you know, the healthcare facilities aren't being overrun and there's no more deaths, they should have opened things back up, I think.
But I feel like it's now a control issue and now it's a safe face issue.
Well, that and keeping themselves from getting sued if something does happen.
Well, I mean, yeah. And plus, I mean, they all panicked and, again, justifiable in my opinion, because again, we did not know what we were dealing with. But then I think we dug ourselves so far into this hole, we just didn't know how to get out of it. So instead of getting out of it, they just buckled down and made it worse, you know, and they're continuing to try to make it sound worse. And it's really not, when you look at the numbers, it's really not that bad. Now that's easy for me to say, granted, I've not had anybody close to me get sick or die. So it's easy for me to say that because it didn't personally impact me. But when you were looking at this, when you step away from the emotions and you look at the numbers and the statistics, it's not that bad. It's not any worse than a really bad flu season. And I know people are going to start yelling at their radios for this, but it's true. I mean, it's just statistically true. I mean, if your grandparent who died from COVID had a really bad case of the flu, it's chances are that grandparent might have passed away from that flu as well. It's just people that are vulnerable to sickness and illness anyway. I mean, it's never a good thing for them to catch something potentially life-threatening. So, yeah, but we do have a mask mandate in Springfield, and we have it in place until mid-October. So, you know, we're not happy about it, but I get it. It's just so weird. And I feel like people are getting sick of it and over it. And you're just seeing more and more people. I mean, they're complying, but like, you know, not really.
Yeah. I mean, we went out to dinner tonight and we watched car after car pull up, and the people got out of the car and walked halfway into the restaurant and then they turned around to go get their mask. They completely forgot about it. So people are really getting sick of it.
I think one reason is because surrounding counties, they voted not to have to wear a mask. So if you come into our city and our county, you have to wear a mask. But as soon as you leave our county, you don't have to. So a lot of confusion and resentment, I think, for that. And it's probably, in my opinion, I'm sure it's probably cut down on the number of people coming to Springfield to do their, because we have a lot of outlying towns that come into Springfield to do their shopping and stuff. So you can't tell me it's not impacted Springfield's businesses by this mask mandate. So I think at this point, it's just become a political ploy. I think that it's just because it's an election year, they want Trump to look bad. I think that they are just trying to make it worse than it really is. In my opinion, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, it just, again, you look at the numbers and the statistics, and, I mean, what do you think?
Well, I mean, there's definitely a pandemic out there. There's definitely a virus that has killed some people. But if you look at other parts of the world, they've sort of gotten over it, you know, and they're getting back to normal. Whereas in the United States, we are, you know, still going wild. And the number one reason, I believe, is because the news media and the, you know, they're just trying to make President Trump look bad for the election.
Yeah, because, you know, they don't want, and getting out and voting in person, you know, oh, you can't do that. You're going to catch COVID and, you know, but you got to get out and vote. It's important. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, even Dr. Fauci said there's no reason that people can't go out and vote in person.
Yeah, Dr. Fauci and all of his quote unquote experts that have been wrong almost every single step of this nightmare.
But now the, you know, there's something out there that he says that you can vote in person that's not being covered in the news media. I haven't heard that anywhere except for, you know, some of the conservative sources.
This mask infringing on your rights. We've actually had patients that come into the hospital refusing to wear a mask, citing that it's against their constitutional right, which I don't think it has anything to do with the Constitution. But I don't know. Do you think wearing a mask, being forced to wear a mask, infringes on your...
So what happens to those people? Do they just get turned down completely? Or
no, they let them come on in.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they let them come in. But I think, well, at first they did. Now they're making them put on a face shield. They don't have to wear a mask, but now you have to wear a face shield. Which, and if we encounter a patient that has chosen not to wear a mask or can't for whatever reason, because some people cannot because they have COPD or, you know, they have other health issues that just make it difficult to breathe anyway. If people like that cannot wear a mask, then we are asked to put on like eye goggles or whatever, whenever we have to be around them. And I appreciate the safety factor of this. But I don't know. I have mixed feelings on that. On one hand, anytime anybody's forcing me to do something against my will, I mean, I don't like it. You know, I just bristle up and like, get away from me. Don't tread on my rights, yo. But on the other hand, I get it because, I mean, it's all in the name of public safety, right? And like our oldest son always likes to point out, you know, Japan, where he loves Japan and everything Japan culture, always talks about how they, as a routine, wear a mask all the time. It's just that's just part of their daily life. So I just kind of wonder if we're ever really going to be able to get rid of masks. Or if this is going to become our new normal, something that we're just going to, like, what's going to happen the next time flu season happens? Or are we going to go right back to this again where everybody has to wear a mask because in social distance? I just feel like we're starting a new trend here, and
I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be mandatory until there's a vaccine, and then the vaccine's going to be mandatory. And if you don't have the vaccine, you're not going to be able to travel, you know. The vaccine or a proof of antibody test or something like that, you're not going to be able to travel, fly, you know, go on a cruise, that sort of thing.
Yeah, which some people are comparing this to like, well, I mean, you have to get the measles and shot and you have to get the polio shot and smallpox and blah, 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 you know, which I guess, again, I have mixed feelings on that. I mean, I don't want to get to a point where I have to show my papers.
Yeah.
Anytime I want to go do something to show that I've done or did or didn't do something.
I don't know that much about measles or smallpox or anything, but the death rate for this COVID thing is just so minuscule. It just seems so unjustified to have to be forced to get a vaccine for something that is so remotely deadly.
Isn't there all kinds of, like, aren't there different strains of COVID? I mean, this is not the only strain of COVID, right?
I think there are supposed to be eight.
Yeah. So are we going to go through this every time another strain of COVID happens? Or is the vaccine again? Is it going to protect us?
Like the flu shot, a mandatory COVID shot every year for the new strain that year?
Exactly.
And you'll have to have proof that you...
That's what I mean. I mean, if there's eight different strains of COVID, are we going to have eight different vaccinations?
Can it get that crazy? I hope not.
Well, did you think it ever get this crazy back in February? I mean, this has just been like unrecognizable. This whole country has just become unrecognizable. And speaking of traveling, I mean, we were supposed to go on a cruise this September, and obviously it's been canceled. But the cruising industry, I mean, are they ever going to be able to come back from this? I think this might have damaged them, like, permanently. Like, their reputation and, I mean, what do you think?
Well, there's some cruises starting up this week, so I guess we'll find out how that goes.
But yeah, but they have to wear trackers.
That's true.
Which
you're going to be tracked.
Again, on one hand, I kind of get it because people are going to lie. Because, you know, before you'd have to write out this piece of paper. Are you sick? Have you had the sniffles? Whatever. People are going to lie on that piece of paper. They're not going to tell you the truth.
What if they just had some kind of a waiver? When you get on the cruise or whatever you're doing, you're traveling or the airline or whatever, you just sign a waiver saying, I understand this is dangerous. And I'm doing it anyway, so there.
And that might protect the cruise line or the airline, but that's not going to protect them from other people suing them. Like, well, this person got on the plane with me, and I contracted this.
Yeah, but if everybody on the plane signs it.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe.
But then it would be one of those things with the fine print that you just sign. And
I don't know. The trackers have me worried, even though, again, on one hand, I kind of get it because... You know, if someone has a temperature and they don't tell you, well, you know.
Well, already the way they're tracking people, like, on the news every day, it's like, there was a COVID positive case that was at Walmart at 5:30 p.m. on the 21st.
Which I don't understand why they do that. I think they do that just to make people panic.
It's like they're tracking a wild animal or something.
Right, exactly. Oh, that's sad, isn't it? But then you pointed out, I mean... I was at first very angry about this tracker. Like, you're not going to track me. It's none of your damn business. But then you said, well, I mean, I wear a fitness tracker. My phone has GPS on it. I mean, they already track us on some respects.
I should show you my Google. Which I get an email from Google showing basically everywhere I've been for the month. It's really spooky.
I don't know. Again, I understand the steps that we took for all this nightmare. But again, where do we draw the line? I think that's my biggest concern is that people are just
end? Where is it ever going to
yes
end?
People are just willing to just say yes sir, okay, yes sir, that sounds great, you can allow me to do this, okay, thank you so much.
I really think after the election,
I don't know,
of course, I don't know.
It depends. If Trump wins, I don't think it's going to let up. I think it's going to get worse with this new, you know, with winter coming and the flu, the influenza and all this stuff on top of everything else that's happening. I don't think it's going to go away. Now, if Trump wins or loses, I don't know. It might go away because, you know, now Biden's going to save everybody from themselves. So
yeah, just like, you know, the H1N1 virus back in whatever year that was, 2012, I guess. The numbers were really so much worse. It was a horrific virus compared to what we're going through now. And nothing was even said in the news media, basically.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know.
Not nothing, but not as much.
I don't know.
No panic like this, at least.
I just think the bottom line is people just need to understand that, you know, life is full of risks. And I mean, every time you leave your house, you're at risk for dying, basically, or being injured by something. I mean, you know, you can leave your house and fall down your step and break a leg, or you get in your car and you get in a car accident, or, you know, you go outside and, I don't know, something falls on your head or you get struck by lightning. I mean, people just need to understand that life is full of risks and all you can do is just, you know.
I think we should have mandatory lightning rods that everybody has to carry.
You know, you laugh, but
I mean, seriously, the odds of dying in a car accident are about the same as getting killed by this virus.
I know. So it's, I know. It's
just crazy.
But and so again,
they haven't shut the roads down yet. I see.
I'm thankful. Yeah. I'm thankful that this didn't end up being worse than it really is. Thank goodness. I mean, can you imagine a world? Can you imagine a world where this is really bad? I think we would have had people would have lost their minds.
I know if it was really a deadly virus like Ebola or something that kills you within 4 hours,
like the Spanish flu.
Yeah, the 1918 flu. People would get it, and about 4 hours later, they would be dead. Sometimes,
if you've never read up on the Spanish flu, well, I don't want to freak you out any more than you maybe already freaked out. But if you were to read about the Spanish flu and the effects it had on people, now that is a scary disease. For sure. And I'm just grateful that COVID is not in that same category. But I just wish the media would stop trying to portray it as that category. And it's just not. You know what I mean? I mean, you just have to be cautious, and you have to, and people, you should wash your hands all the time, not just when there's a pandemic. You know, whenever you walk by people, if they're coughing or sneezing, hold your breath, walk the other direction. I mean, this kind of stuff that they're drumming into our heads right now, this is stuff you should be doing all the time.
So actually, a couple of good things have come out of this. Like, people might be a little bit more clean.
Well, I hope. I don't know. I mean, for now, until the pandemic's over, then they're going to go right back to their nasty ways, I guess. But I don't know.
Yeah, in the food bar, they don't let every person touch every single utensil at the food bar now. So
I think there has been some good things that have come out of it.
There are a few good things.
There has been, honestly. But I think the bottom line is, people, just use common sense, take a breath, you know, step back from the situation. Don't think about it emotionally, but think about it logically, you know, use your head. Because people, too many times, fear is so powerful. Fear is a powerful emotion. And it propels people to do things they wouldn't normally do under normal circumstances. And you just can't give in to that, you know. You just have to think for yourselves and read between the lines and take it with a grain of salt. And, you know, get your news more than one place, you know. So, I don't know. What are your final thoughts on this, Kev?
I think I've already said it all. I mean, I don't have anything else to say. Just you know, don't let the fear control you. That's basically what the news media is trying to create, more and more fear so they can make President Trump look bad. That's what I think.
Well, like, just ultimately control people. Yeah. It's all about control, really. Yeah. It really is. But I don't know. I just pray we never have to go through anything like this again in our lifetime. Hopefully this is the one and only pandemic we've had in like decades. But I don't know. I just wonder if they're going to, I don't know.
Yeah. Is this going to be something every year? Surely not.
I mean, is this our new normal? I don't know. That's what scares me. I think we might have just hit a new normal.
What if the next year's flu is
exactly
is deadly? You know,
are they going to shut everybody down again? They did it the first time.
I just don't think this could happen again. I think people will not stand for it.
Our economy couldn't handle a second time. It would destroy
us. Well, I mean, how are we going to pay for all this?
Oh my gosh.
That we've already done.
That gives me anxiety just thinking about all the money that we've handed out to people. Even though I understand why they did it.
Yeah, it's like a government shutdown, so you got to somehow.
But keep people money fed. Doesn't grow on trees. Money has to come from somewhere. Someone's going to have to pay for this somewhere.
Money.
So, anyway. All right, enough doom and gloom for one day. Those are our thoughts on COVID and this whole nightmare. And I pray that we get through this and move on, and we can, you know, get back to normal and live our life and enjoy our families and go on vacations. And so you guys take care, be healthy, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.